ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, text 38, chapter 29. Yanta pravishya bhutani, bhute at akhilasraya, savishnakyo dio a dio. Diya yosho Kala kala yatam prabhu Yota pravishya bhutani Bhute at akhilasraya Savishva kayo diya yosho Kala kala yatam prabhu. Bit of a tongue twister. Anybody like to try this one? Ya.
Ya.
He who.
Anta.
Within. Pravishya. Entering. Bhutani.
Living entities.
Bhutai.
By living entities.
Ati.
Annihilates.
Akila.
Of everyone.
Asraya.
The support.
Sa.
He.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Akhya.
Named.
Ariyagya,
the enjoyer of all sacrifices.
Aso,
that.
Kala,
time factor.
Kalayatam,
of all the masters.
Prabhu,
the master.
Translation. Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is enjoyer of all sacrifices, is the time factor and the master of all the masters. He enters everyone's heart. He is the support of everyone, and he causes every being to be annihilated by another. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is clearly described in this passage. He is the supreme enjoyer, and all others are working as His servants. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.14, Akale Ishvara Krishna, the only Supreme Lord is Vishnu. Arasabha Brittaya, all the others are His servants. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the other demigods are all servants. The same Vishnu enters everyone's heart as Paramatma, and He causes the annihilation of every being through another being. Now, I've taken the liberty to also do the next verse because it's a really nice verse. So that one is Nakashya Kaschit Daito Nadvesha Na Chabandanaha Avishya Apra Mato So Paramatma Janma Antakrit. And the translation for that one is, no one is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone His enemy or His friend. And He gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten Him and destroys those who have. The purport to this one by Srila Prabhupada is, forgetfulness of one's relationship with Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of one's repeated birth and death. A living entity is as eternal as the Supreme Lord. But due to his forgetfulness, he's put into this material nature and transmigrates from one body to another, and when the body is destroyed, he thinks that he is also destroyed. Actually, this forgetfulness of his relationship with the Lord Vishnu is the cause of his destruction. Anyone who revives his consciousness of the original relationship receives inspiration from the Lord. This does not mean that the Lord is someone's enemy and someone else's friend. He helps everyone. One who is not bewildered by the influence of the material energy is saved, and one who is bewildered is destroyed. It is said, therefore, Harim Vinan Na Shrutim Taranti. No one can be saved from the repetition of birth and death without the help of the Supreme Lord. It is therefore the duty of all living entities to take shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu and thus save themselves from this cycle of birth and death. Omagana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Vayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, is the time factor and the master of all masters. He enters everyone's heart. He is the support of everyone and he causes every being to be annihilated. No one is dear to the Supreme Personality, nor is anyone his enemy or his friend. But he gives inspiration to those who have forgotten him and destroys those who have. So the message of these purports is don't forget Krishna. And that's our golden rule, isn't it? Always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. So Krishna is equal to all. And Krishna is so merciful to each and every one of us. Krishna enters within the heart of every living entity. There was a... In the shower this morning, I was having a shower, and all of a sudden this little spider came into the shower. And I was researching this verse that we were thinking about today. And I'm thinking, actually, you know, first I was thinking, oh, it's a little spider, you know. And then I was thinking how incredible this little spider is, because it's a living entity, and Krishna also resides in this little spider. And he's sojourning through his little life. Just amazing. Krishna's everywhere. Krishna's so compassionate. Even he enters the life of a little spider, a little ant, a little maggot, he's there with the living entity. Because these are all living entities. This is the Supreme Lord. He travels with us everywhere we go. So the Lord is equal to everyone. Krishna is totally equal, bipartisan, completely equal to all. And Prabhupada compares, the Vedas compare Krishna and his equality to the quality of air. Air is for everyone. And Prabhupada makes the distinction that the air can be utilized by birds, and birds fly in the air. And whether it's a little sparrow that flies low to the ground, or whether it's a soaring eagle that flies high above the mountains, the air is exactly the same. And so this is Krishna. He's the master of all masters. There are many masters in this world, but Krishna is the master of all masters. There's no one subordinate to him. This is sometimes very much confused within our Hindu community. That somehow they think that Krishna and all the other demigods and Shiva and Brahma and Durga, they're all the same. It's actually all the same energy. It's not. Krishna is the supreme. He's the supreme master. Recently I had to give I was supposed to give a talk, and then we found out that I wasn't giving a talk at a Hindu function recently. And the gentleman they had presenting the Hindu point of view, very scholarly person, he's renowned within the Hindu community as being very, very prominent, very prominent personality. So they got him to speak. And both Bhakti and I were there, and he was relating how we also have murtis and deities. He actually called them idols. And he said there's not much difference between the idols that the Christians worship and the idols that we worship as Hindus. They're symbolic. They're symbolic. Bhakti and I look at each other. What is this guy talking about? How could he say that? Krishna is non-different from his form in the Archavigraha, in the Murti form of the Lord. Krishna is so merciful that he manifests himself in these beautiful forms. And this man had no idea, no understanding. And he was supposedly a Vedic scholar. So this is what we're up against as the devotees. To bring across this personal aspect of God. That there is no greater personality. He is the master of all masters. He is the supreme. And whether we remember him, that's to our benefit. If we forget him, that's to our detriment. When Krishna is describing here that if you don't remember him, it is the cause of your destruction. That doesn't mean that Krishna is like the god of fire and damnation that a lot of Christian traditions. Krishna, by that simply means that we are lost in a cycle of birth and death. And that could take ages for us to come to a human form of life and re-establish or have the opportunity to re-establish our link with Krishna. So this is what's meant by that destruction, by being ignorant of Krishna's position. So he's the master of all masters, and there's no one subordinate to him. He is the greatest support. In the same token, it's pointed out here that Krishna is the greatest support and travels through our sojourn in this material world equally, totally equally. And there's that verse, a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvejostina Priyaha. This is a very important one. The translation is, I envy no one. Krishna doesn't have to envy anyone. He is the supreme. He has everything. And nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service to me in devotion is a friend, is in me. So this is how close the relationship is. He's in me, and I'm also a friend to him. So if we take to this devotional service and recognize that Krishna is the master of all masters, that he is the supreme, that we are servitors to him eternally, then Krishna becomes our dear friend. He's always a dear friend to everyone because he travels with us. Wherever we go, even in a maggot's body, a worm's body, a fly's body, a little spider's body, he travels with us until we get to this human form of life. And this human form of life is the opportunity for us to realize who we are in relationship to God. So this verse is really important, so important that I wanted to read Prabhupada's purport to this Bhagavad Gita shloka, because it actually gives the presentation for personalism. We are personalists. We're practically the only organization in the world that actually genuinely is personal, has a personal relationship with Krishna, with God. So many other people say they have a relationship with God, so many other religious traditions, but when you really analyze it, it's more a concept of energy or power or some greater being, but we're not quite sure who that is. We actually have a tangible relation. We know what Krishna looks like, we know what God looks like, we know what he likes to eat, we know his friends, we know what he does in the day, we know everything about Krishna, about this person. So this is Prabhupada's purport. One may question here that Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend. Then why does he take such a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children, isn't it? I mean, we can be very charitable. Like this morning, we're seeing during Guru Puja, we see all these wonderful little kids coming up and offering praise to Srila Prabhupada. You know, it is so heartwarming to see the movement grow. But even our own children, and you love those little children. We love our Krishna conscious kids. But our own children mean so much to us still. So Prabhupada says here that the Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is his child. And as such, he provides everyone with a generous supply of all the necessities of life. Krishna provides everything for us. Just as like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or on land or water, but for his devotees he gives special attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness. and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such a consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. So they're 100% completely enraptured in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says here distinctly, Maita Maite, in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord also is in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the word Asti Napriya Ye Bhajanti. Whoever surrenders unto me proportionately, I take care of him. So the more we serve Krishna, the more he looks after us. And that's that saying. You take one step towards Krishna, you get how many steps back?
90.
Huh? 100. 1,000. Krishna is unlimited. Take one step towards him. The transcendental reciprocation exists because the Lord and the devotee are conscious. They're both living entities. It's not an energy. It is not some vague thing. Krishna is real. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified. At the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined towards service to the Lord, he looks like gold. So the devotees are like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. The living entity in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. So it's reciprocal. In a loving relationship, this is real love. In a loving relationship, you do something for your loved one does something for you. In the material world, the greatest example of that, again, is with mother and a child. The mother will do so much for the child, for love. If the child reciprocates just a little bit and does something for Mataji, the mother is overwhelmed with joy. Oh, my little boy is making me a cup of tea. I haven't even asked for it. How wonderful is my little child? This is like Krishna. Or the father. The father does so much for the child. Goes out and works every day. You know, hard work. Some of you have to travel long distances, chant your rounds on the train, work for some mundane person, come home, tired, and your child says, Daddy, I washed your car for you today, without even asking. The father is filled with elation. My son has done something. Reciprocation. Loving reciprocation. This is the quality that we have as devotees. We do something for Krishna, Krishna will give you something back. He'll give you more chance to love him, more chance to do more for him. This is what Prabhupada is saying. So the Lord is like a diamond, and so this combination of a diamond and gold is very, very nice, Prabhupada says. If a reciprocal relation is not present between the devotee and the Lord, there is no personalist philosophy. This makes us special. We understand that Krishna is a person. This makes us special. And if we don't have that, that's impersonalism. Empty, dry, no juice, no taste, no reciprocation. Just mundane knowledge. We have the perfect situation. In the impersonalist philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the supreme and the living entity. But the personalist philosophy is there. But with the personalist philosophy, that is there. So Krishna is completely equal, and he understands. He loves the impersonalist as well. He loves those devotees that are trying to do something at least spiritual. He even loves those people that are nonsenses and cause so much harassment in the world. Like a judge, Krishna is like a judge in a court. He is completely equal to all and judges a person guilty or innocent. And this old question of why do people suffer and some people don't suffer and some people do suffer. If God is equal, you know, you hear so many different philosophers and so many different atheists and even religionists. So if there is a God, how is it that if you say that he's equal, how come it is that I'm watching the news and I see that in Syria, little children are being killed by gas. Little innocent children. What have they done? Why is God not equal to those people? And people are asking questions like this. Why is it that in Africa, you know, you see on television, they ask you for appeals. Please help this starving little kid. We see so many young children here, robust, friendly, happy. Some of them are chubby, nicely fed. And then you see on the picture on the screen, on your TV, this little child dying, skin and bones. And people are asking, how is it, if you say that God is equal and just, that you have these children starving in Africa and other people are not? How can this be just? How can this be equality? And the whole situation is that from this purport that we're reading here, we have to take personal responsibility. We have to take personal responsibility. And with proper knowledge, Srila Prabhupada in this verse gives the understanding. Our understanding is that we have to understand Krishna is a person, and we got into this mess, this material world, by our own doing, by our own unfortunate misjudgment, that we thought that we were the enjoyers, that we came to this material world for our own personal enjoyment. And sometimes, it's interesting, sometimes we have to remind people of this fact. I'll tell you a story. Yesterday, unfortunately, I couldn't come to the wonderful Vyasa Puja for His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. I saw some of it on YouTube later on, how he is glorified. Great transcendentalist, great personality. So close to Krishna. So powerful personality. I couldn't be here because I had to go to prison. I had to go and see this person who's been asking me to come and see him. I'll tell you a story. He allowed me to tell this story. And the twists of karma that life can take, you know, for any one of us. This was a Brahmin priest in Kerala. A Brahmin priest in Kerala. He had a beautiful temple that his family had been worshipping for many, many generations. Young man, probably about 30 or so. And he was a Brahmin and he was doing wonderful puja. All he wanted to do was do puja. Really Brahmin. He was worshipping Bhagavati, you know, which is also Lakshmi in a sense, right? So this was his life and goal. Not Krishna conscious, but in a sense it is. He was very dedicated to his service to Bhagavati. So he was worshipping and everybody adored him, and so he was paka, everything. How did this man from Kerala, in this little temple, it wasn't even in the main city of Kerala, in a little suburb of Kerala, doing his puja every day and everything, worshipping Lakshmi Devi, Bhagavati, all of a sudden end up in Port Phillip prison? Whee! Like that. So I asked him his story, and he said, I was approached by a friend, so-called friend, to please, in Australia, they very much need puja done. There are many worshippers of Bhagavati, and we want to do proper puja for these people that are here, because the population in Australia of the Indian community is growing so much. The only person I can think would be the best person to do this puja for them in Melbourne is you, my dear friend. This was how he was approached. And he said, yes, but I can't even speak English. He said, no matter, just come and do puja. And he was reluctant in the beginning. He thought, you know, well, I'm not qualified, really. This is not where I'm going to go, you know. But he said, okay. Eventually he said, all right, I will go. So this man made all the arrangements for him. He said, okay, put all the utensils of your puja into your suitcase, and we go. So he went with some other people, and he arrived here in Melbourne, and he went to the Shiva Vishnu temple, and was ready to do his puja. He was landed at the hotel. No one was there to look after him, and he was thinking, this is a little strange. Now, there were another two bags that accompanied him with technically also had puja equipment in it that his friend had told him, these are all puja equipment. So he said, I'll leave them at the airport and just take my luggage. He went, and finally he got a hotel. His friend wasn't there, no one was there, and he was wondering, what's going on? So the next day, they brought the luggage to him, but this time it was customs agents and police. They said, are these yours? He said, yes, they are. They're for puja. And he said, thank you very much. Come with me. Loaded with drugs. Stacked with drugs. 15 kilos of methamphetamine, heroin, right? So this man said, these are not mine, but you have just said that this is your luggage. Yes, but I didn't, he couldn't even speak English. They had to get translators in. No questions asked. Straight in prison. So then he tried to get himself out of prison by ringing up his parents and everything. Now this so-called friend, who was actually a mafioso, and he used him, and he's been using other people, spiritual people, to get drugs into Australia. So this man now is threatening, you say anything to the police, and I will take care of your family. So first of all, he didn't believe it, so he broke his father's hand, smashed him on the head. So this man is now in prison, completely distraught. What am I to do? What can I do? So his only hope is to plead guilty. That way at least he has safety for his parents. And he is bewildered, he can't sleep at night time. And anyway, he's been asking to come and see me. So again, it is the job of the devotees to remind a person of where they're coming from. I said again to him, you understand why this is happening. You are a Brahmin. You are a priest. You know why this is happening? And he said, yes, I know. It may not be something that I've done in this lifetime, but it's something that has happened in previous lifetime. So he doesn't blame Bhagavati. He doesn't blame the Supreme Lord. He takes responsibility. And he set up his cell. He has an altar. He does puja every day. He does his own japa. He has Rudraksha beads and he chants. They let him do this. But he said, the one thing I need is association. I need association. I need to have the strength of another devotee outside. So and that's why he was asking to come, you know, for me to come. He didn't know that I was a Caucasian person, a Western person. He wasn't disappointed. We hugged at the end and he said, you promise you'd come and see me? I said, I might not be able to come every week, but I will come. So I'll ask other people, perhaps some that are of the Tamil, that can speak Tamil. Devotees association is so important. So this is the suffering that can happen to any of us. We think we're so nicely situated here in the Hare Krishna temple. Who knows what can happen to you karmically? And you still have to stay conscious of serving Krishna. So our situation is that all of us are like the Supreme Lord in that we are Sat-Chit-Ananda. We have full knowledge, we have full bliss, we're eternal, right? Just like Krishna, but we've forgotten it. And instead of identifying with this eternal position, we're identifying ourselves with this temporary material position, which is really unfortunate. Instead of understanding our position as servitor, as a servant of God, we want to take the position of enjoyer. And so thereby, we get this situation. And a quote from the purport is, this forgetfulness of our relationship with Lord Vishnu is the cause of our destruction. This is what destroys us when we forget Krishna. Hari Bol Sangana. But we're never totally destroyed because it takes a long time again to realize the truth. Krishna never lets us go. He is all merciful and he'll always look after us. So if we want to enjoy this material world, one has to go to the material world. One has to associate with the material world. That's a simple sort of thing. If a person wants to, say for example, if a person wants to go to the beach, It's not good enough to just think, yes, the beach is so nice, there's waves and there's sand and so on and stuff. You actually have to go to the beach to enjoy it, right? So similar, or another example, you know, like say for example, if you're a footy fan. Who's a footy fan here? Honestly. Hey, there's one. Another one over there. Okay. You know, I mean, you can listen to the football on the radio, you can listen, watch it, you can even watch it on TV, but nothing compares to actually being in the MCG, right? With thousands of people cheering on this little guy in shorts kicking this pigskin around the place, right? Nothing like it. So enthusing. So you have to actually go to that place. So thereby, if you want to come to this material world, or if you have that enjoying propensity and you want to enjoy separately, then you have to associate with the material world. You have to, this is made for you. You have to come to that situation. And then, when you're here in this material world, you get inflicted by the three modes of material nature. Here, anybody seen that play that we did a long time ago? Hansel and Gretel? You've seen it, right? The first part is that I want to enjoy. You know, I'm the jiva, and I'm in the spiritual world, but I wanted, well, wherever the heck I was, I don't know where, and I wanted to come to this material world, and I'm given all these different baggages. Yeah, well, if you want to enjoy the material world, you need all these different baggages. There's the material knowledge acquiring senses and this and that. And I get piled up with all these baggages, and then I come to the material world. So it's this misidentification, you know. And, you know, with the influence of the three modes of material body, you may get an extremely good body, or you get a bad body, or you get an animal body, or whatever. Or you get a heavenly body. And some people think that to live in the heavenly planets is really, that's where I want to go, you know. All the damsels in the heavenly planets are so wonderful. All the men in the heavenly planets are so wonderful. But it's all a bad body. It's a bad bargain. This material world is the cause of our destruction, but it can also be our emancipation, if we understand that we have to serve the Lord. That's the key thing. So association is a really important thing, and we misidentify ourselves. That misidentification. But Krishna never lets us go. Krishna will make arrangements throughout our life to actually remember who we really are. Snippets. All of us have experienced that. Every single person on this planet, in the human form of life, we'll see something beautiful in creation, a beautiful sunset or a beautiful thing in nature, and go, you know, if you watch David Attenborough and you see the intricacies of an animal of a different species, and you think, wow, isn't that amazing how this works, how this living entity works, or this beautiful sunset, you know, this beautiful vista, this panorama, and you think, wow, there must be a God. This is so beautiful. And then we forget again. And we get back into this mode of material nature of trying to enjoy. What's interesting, most of you know that we did this, we had this opportunity last weekend for 5 days. We had an opportunity to be in the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. Everybody know about that? We advertise it a lot. But it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. By inspiration, the devotees helped set up this wonderful display, which was the pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan. It was Radha and Krishna and the gopis and gopas. Now, even the devotees felt so enchanted by this presentation. Beautiful Radha and Krishna, whose faces were beautifully painted by none other than our master painter, Rasanandini Ji. She's such a wonderful painter. Her face, the faces of Radha and Krishna were totally transcendental. And then in my own way, we did the gopas and the gopis. And Bhakti did so much work on their costumes and everything. But the thing that was the most exciting thing was to watch people. Right? They had no idea that Radha and Krishna, God, would be at this flower show. 200,000 people went to this show. It was the biggest show they've ever had. And there in the midst of this, even some devotees who had no idea that we were there, no idea, they're walking past, and they come walking past, and all the... It's Radha and Krishna, jai! You know? All of a sudden they had this vision of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But the real interesting people to watch, and all the devotees that were there that manned the stall, was Ajay, Ananda, who else was it, Bhakti? Sukadev, Ratipriya, and so many others. You know, we were just standing there, just mesmerized, watching people. Because people, all of a sudden, had a flash of remembrance. You could see it. You know, there were people that were there, and they even forgot that they were in the garden show. They were just... And, you know, it was like... And there were all these other displays, wasn't it, Rasa? All these other displays. And I'll put some more pictures up. And the one next to us was Maya Devi. Right? They had these mannequins of nude ladies with big flower heads. So whatever the hell that was supposed to mean, but anyway. Nobody paid any attention to that one, right? No one paid any attention to this other thing which looked like a peacock without a head. And everybody was in front of ours. Hundreds of people sort of bustling, pushing each other, taking photographs. Look, click, 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 click. It was amazing, wasn't it? And it was so uplifting because it reminded them of their real identity. It reminded them that they are actually linked with Krishna. Deep down, we understand that every jiva is a pure devotee. And Krishna also is within them as Paramatma and will remind them, hey, you remember this. This is your eternal abode. You're in there somewhere in that spiritual world, but you've forgotten. So it was absolutely ecstatic. It was just so enthralling. And it was really Krishna, straight away, as it's pointed out here, Krishna gives inspiration to his devotees. That happened. Because after it, we straight away had ideas of what we're going to do next year. You know, how are we going to present it next year? What are we going to do? Wasn't it, Rasa? What are we going to do? How are we going to make this even better? And it was so enthralling. We managed to give away around about, we could have given more. We gave about, 400 books, magazines away to people. We didn't even have to give them. We had two containers. We could have given more. We had two containers just standing there and people just going, thank you, taking these wonderful things. And the thing that really dawned on me, and this is where Krishna again gives you inspiration and reciprocates with the living entity. If you've done some service, he gives it back to you. You know, the thing is, it's through realization. By doing this preaching, by going through the austerity, and it was an austerity for all of us, wasn't it? It was. But by doing that austerity, we get insight. We get realizations. And the realization that I got was my incredible appreciation of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a genius. He is an absolute genius. When he came to this world, how he presented Krishna consciousness. He is a marketing guru. Really, he is a branding guru. You know the whole terminology, branding, right? Branding means, and you brand something, you remember it, right? If you're branded, you always remember what it is, right? So he branded this Krishna consciousness when he came to the world, to the Western world. So much so that when people came past, because they haven't seen the devotees, and a lot of these people were middle-aged people that came to see. Even old ladies in wheelchairs, you know, came past. And, oh, the Hare Krishnas are here. And we sort of stood in the back, right? And you see people going, right? And then others were going, you know, without us influencing them at all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They remembered Prabhupada's tune. Right? We have so many different tunes, but Prabhupada always used to chant that one tune. How does it go? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Even if they didn't know the words, right? They were going, they were making an advancement. It was amazing. It was so amazing. And it lifted us with joy. It was really, really a wonderful thing. So Krishna says, by association with material senses and sense gratification, that's the source of our struggle. If we associate with material world, that's the source of our struggle. An example of that, Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. You know, and Krishna said, the living entity in this conditioned world are my eternal, fragmental parts. So we're part of Krishna. And due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which includes the mind. So in this verse, the word is, in this verse that we were reading today, pramatta. Pramatta. Pramatta means forgetfulness, ignorance, craziness, non-attentiveness. Non-attentive chanting. Why we have one of the principles that we have, non-attentive chanting is offensive to Krishna, so we have to be attentive. And apramatta is attentive, remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna, the golden rule. And be inspired to follow the principles. So Krishna inspires you when you offer devotional service to continue on with devotional service, to keep following the regulative principles, to keep wanting to do more and more service. This is the reciprocation that Krishna gives. People are astounded. How can you people always get up so early, follow the principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication? How can you do it for such a long period of time? Krishna inspires us to keep going because we get a taste. And we get a taste and we're inspired also to serve the mission of our spiritual masters. And this is what's needed. So again in Bhagavad Gita they said, Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakaham dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama pujantite. 10:10, most important verse. To those who constantly devoted and worship me, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. They actually, Krishna gives you the purview, the understanding of what it means to be a devotee. So to really help ourselves advance, Krishna also says, we have to make an effort to also help others, to pass on this knowledge to others. In other words, we have to become guru. Every single one of us, even you guys, little guys, you're all gurus. Did you know that? You don't have to sit on a big vyasa, son, but you're a guru as well. And you have to teach people, you have to encourage people, you have to allow people to remember their real position in life, that they are servants of God, and God is reciprocal. So, Prabhupada, in one lecture in Nairobi, Prabhupada had a whole lot of businessmen, real businessmen, and he was saying, Prabhupada was saying, you are all gurus. You all have to be gurus. They may not be diksha gurus, but they're shiksha gurus. Every single one of us has to be instructing and giving people. And even though Krishna is impartial and is equal to everyone, similarly in the last chapter, practically the last verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that actually for one who explains the supreme secret, what's the supreme secret? That I'm a servant of Krishna. That you're a part and parcel of Krishna. You're actually spark. It was explained to me, because we're spark, part and parcels of Krishna, we are also an aspect of God. We're actually servant to God. We are servant to God, to the Supreme Lord. We're actually His servants. This is our role. So the supreme secret, for one who explains this supreme secret, this understanding, to the devotees, so one who is receptive, one who's willing to hear, one that's open. And there are so many people, they're just covered by ignorance. Because again, at this flower show, when people were first blown out and had that little bit of remembrance, the devotees were there to then encourage them. So you think that, you know, because it was so funny, Bhakti used to watch, and the other devotees as well, used to watch out for the reactions of people. And when people went, oh, wow, and started taking photos, then she realized that's the one I have to hone in on. So he said, did you like that? Do you like our presentation? Oh, it's so beautiful. That's Krishna and his consort. So she had an opportunity, and the other devotees also had an opportunity to present the philosophy, to present this supreme secret at that time. And then Krishna says to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. So you will have that eternal relationship with Krishna forever. No doubt about it. And at the end, you'll come back to me. We left home and we can go back. We can go back to Godhead and be with Krishna eternally in that spiritual abode. You know, when we can get completely blown up, and I mean, we actually had devotees who saw the mannequin's face that Rasanandini painted actually nearly cry because of the beauty of that deity form. Krishna manifests himself. So when we can actually be with Krishna eternally, this is our home, this is where we belong. And Krishna says at the end of that Bhagavad Gita, there is no servant more dear than he or she, nor will there ever be one more dear. So even though Krishna is impartial, if we preach this knowledge, Krishna will even give us greater benefit and greater love. So as a, you know, you may wonder, well, what the heck could I have done with this Brahmin person, you know, in the prison? All I can do is just give him my association and just be with him and present Krishna consciousness. So that's the same for all of us. It is our responsibility to reach out to others, to present this philosophy to others. If we're not doing that, we're being selfish. It is incumbent upon us to actually really outreach to people. Make every endeavor. Be inspired in your own way. How can I outreach more and more? How can I touch people? We don't want to see people suffer. We don't want people to misunderstand why there is suffering in this world and blame God for it. Don't blame God. Take responsibility. It is your fault. And you may say, yes, but this little baby, what has it done to be gassed like this, to be hurt like this? In actuality, we understand that in the previous life, this guy, this little entity, may have been a monster and done horrible things to other people. It may sound harsh, but it's a fact. Krishna consciousness and this Vedic knowledge gives you the facts. You understand the facts. And when you know the facts, then you understand that we have to take responsibility for everything that happens in our lives. And it's our responsibility to reach out to others. All great teachers have always taught that. All the great spiritual teachers in the world. Lord Jesus Christ, who is renowned throughout the Western world, his foremost teaching is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So what does that mean? It wasn't his quote personally, it was actually taken from the Old Testament. But it was a very good quote. He was quoting his guru. So what does that mean? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Understand that you're a spiritual spark and that Krishna is also within the living entity. And as much as you love Krishna within, you also love Krishna in the other individual. And then you have that reciprocation. We can't be pacifists in our preaching. We can't just be happy with doing puja, coming to the temple, you know, and think that everything is fantastic. It's okay for you. But we have to make some endeavor to outreach to people in our workplace, in our home place, everywhere we go. You know, I bang on about this all the time. But we have to extend ourselves to pass on this knowledge. Don't let people suffer with this misconception of reality. Teach people what the truth is, and it will be their panacea. Just like this Brahmin, he understood this is the most horrible situation to be put in. Believe me, prison is no pleasant place. If anybody really wants to understand what it's like, come with me one time to Pentridge or to, not to Pentridge, Pentridge is gone, to Port Phillip prison. It is hellish. There are so many gates, so many blocks, so many this, that. It's a cold, hard place. But this person could understand that this is my responsibility. I'm in this position. Technically, in this life, I've done nothing wrong, but in previous lives, there was something, and now I'm willing to cop it. So we can't be pacifists in our preaching. We have to actually push this movement on. We are a preaching movement. So the purport, the translation is again, no one is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone his enemy or friend, but he gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten him and destroys those who have forgotten him. There's another thing that I just wanted to mention at the end of this class, is that today we have this wonderful opportunity to have the thank you dinner. Everybody know that there's a thank you dinner on tonight? We've got some wonderful engagements happening, wonderful entertainment, delicious prasadam. You know, Jai Sachi is cooking up a storm. We're going to get politicians, and Father Bob Maguire is coming, and he's our friend, he's our wonderful friend, and other people are coming. And it's a thank you dinner for all those people that have contributed to the making of this new kitchen facility, and those that are also inspired and haven't contributed yet and would like to contribute. And this kitchen is not just a facility for us to make yummy prasadam for ourselves. It's not. It's make yummy prasadam for Krishna. But sometimes we think, oh, we'll make yummy prasadam for Krishna, but I like it too. You know? It is for us to extend our preaching. We want to open up more crossways. We want to open up more preaching centers. And prasadam is our secret weapon. Again, at this program that we had at the flower show, people were talking about our halva and our pakoras. They were the thing, oh, I love your halva. Oh, I love crossways. Oh, I go to Gopal's all the time. Prasadam is the Hare Krishna's secret weapon. You know, in today's society, you know, there's so many more temples opening up, right? In the western suburbs, I got a notice this week also again, there's a new Hindu temple opening up in Wyndham. And they may open up the Durga temple, beautiful deities, but none of them have got Krishna prasadam. None of them. We have that. That's our secret weapon, Krishna prasadam. So this temple is building and renovating this kitchen for us to produce more prasadam, better quality prasadam, to go out to the masses and influence them. A way to a man's heart is through his stomach, is through his tongue. So we need to actually infiltrate people with this beautiful prasadam. And then they'll become favorable and are ready to understand the truth. This is what's required. So it's not a personal thing that we're building this temple so we can have yummy prasad. And may I say also, even if you are a cook here at this kitchen, you should be mindful that you are cooking for a broad community. You're not just cooking for people with a taste for chili. The majority of people don't like chili. If we are to preach to the broader community, including Western people, including other people, chili is off the menu. You can't inspire people when people come here and say, oh, I don't like this Sunday feast because it's too spicy. Sorry, but I've heard this many times. And I've heard devotees actually say, I'm sorry, I don't come to the Sunday feast anymore because I can't eat the prasadam. Big offense. Sanghanath, am I right?
A little overcooked, I think.
So the thing is, we have to be really mindful that we are cooking for Krishna. And Krishna wants the remnants of his food to inspire people to become devotees. I never forget one of the first times that I came here, right, being a TMer, a meditator with TM, having dry boiled veggies and all this kind of stuff as my meal. I was sitting there and Ramai Swami, who was Ramai Brahmachari at that stage, served me up a plate of halva. Well, I thought all my Christmases had come at once. I couldn't believe this. This was absolutely delicious. And he came around for a donation later and I said, man, this is just the best thing I've ever tasted in my life. And I gave him such a huge donation. He said, are you sure you want to give that much? I said, yeah, this is just a wonderful experience. So this is the experience that we want to give to people. Don't be selfish. Oh yes, but I like chili. Forget it. You're not cooking for yourself. You're cooking for the broad mass of people. And you have an influence. So please change this attitude. As much as the management have been hiding the chilies, and putting the chili somewhere else, someone brings the pocket full, I've got my chili from. What is that? We can't have that. We have to make this, Korma Prabhu, God bless him, he is the greatest acharya for prasadam. And he used to be so emphatic, it has to be totally delicious. And if it wasn't, even Balaram Prabhu, who was the temple president here, he used to sample all the different tastes, and if it wasn't up to par, he would get on the cook's case. That wasn't nice enough. You have to make it nice. The kachoris were nice, the samosas. You guys, the older guys here, you know what I'm talking about, right? It was like we had to have the best, and people would come from all over just to have prasadam. This is so important. So this kitchen that we're building will give us a facility to cook more of delicious prasadam. And we need your support. Whatever you can do. If you've given some contribution, this dinner is for you to thank you. We've got the opportunity to do it. If you at this stage haven't given a contribution, however small that may be, contribute. And Krishna will reciprocate with you. He will give you something back which is beyond your expectation, beyond your recognition. He will give you realizations that you'll be just completely in ecstasy about. This is the promise that Krishna gives. He will inspire you. This is what we want. So I'll stop here. Any comments or questions at all? Yes, Bhakti Ji. Yeah, Prabhupada recommends.
Sorry, there's no chilies available. Let's put pepper in. Yeah. Just as hot.
Yes, Prabhu, you had a comment? Question?
I was thinking of when you were saying the seed, the bushfire. You give the seed bushfire?
Yeah. People, where are you? That was so funny, wasn't it? When we did the bushfires.
Yeah, and second thing was the reciprocal in Krishna.
Yeah.
And Krishna said, 9.24.
That's it. He is Krishna. It is Krishna. We're eating Krishna. Krishna is prasadam. Krishna actually manifests himself as prasadam. It's none other than he himself. Isn't it amazing? His mercy, prasadam. Yes, Prabhu, Lalita. Give me an example. Like what?
Like sometimes someone might be curious about certain how do you kind of talk to them about it?
Well, Prabhupada was just repeat it again, really loud voice. Big loud voice. Okay. How do you, when you're preaching, how do you talk to people about controversial things, you know, without getting implicated in that whole controversy, correct?
Yeah, and then kind of getting influenced by them.
And getting influenced by them and not... Okay. First and foremost thing is you have to pray to Krishna. Always. In any situation, say for example, if you find yourself in a situation and it's a one-to-one preaching, right? First, in your own mind, it's not like you go, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nothing like that. Just in yourself, Krishna's within your heart. First, this is what I do. Like yesterday, I didn't know what I was going to talk to this guy about. You know? And so, first of all, you pray to Krishna within your heart. We have to pray. My Lord, I want to help this person. Please direct me. Please guide me that I speak the truth. So then Krishna, number one, is sitting right beside you. Oh, you've asked for my help? I'm here. Okay? And then you let the conversation go. Prabhupada was always really amicable. He would start off with, you know, where do you work? What do you do? And then you'll find that actually Krishna will inspire you because you've aligned yourself with Krishna, that I'm your servant, my Lord, please help me. And as Krishna is saying in this, as the purport is saying, Prabhupada is saying in this purport, Krishna will then inspire you to say exactly what that person needs. And you won't become influenced by what that person is saying. But the first and foremost thing is that you yourself have to establish yourself, Krishna, please help me. Okay? I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but if you help me, I'll speak the right things. And you'd be surprised, sometimes things come out that you thought, where the hell did that come from? You know, I didn't even realize that. It was a real realization. And controversial topics, we can handle them. Everything can be handled in Krishna consciousness. And it's the simple truth that you are a servant of God. That's how you start off. You're not this material body. You are a servant of God. You're a spiritual spark and a servant of God. And you bring it back to that point. When they have understood that bit, then you go to the next thing. And we love controversial things. We love people bringing up controversial arguments. I love it. Bring it on. You know, it's like a challenge. It's fantastic. An atheist will come up to you, you know, and say, oh, God doesn't exist. You know, have you got the arguments? It means also that you have to do some research. You have to read Prabhupada's books. And say, for example, this is another thing that always intrigues me. Some controversial thing comes up, or you know you've got to talk about something, right? And if you're reading Prabhupada's books on a regular sort of basis, right, the chapter or the verse that you're reading will be just pertinent for that argument that you have to have with that person. It's just amazing how that happens, because the Lord is providing that information for you. But the first and foremost thing is you have to set yourself up, please pray to Krishna. Please help me, my dear Lord. And you don't have to make a big show of it, but internally, and you won't be disappointed. Krishna will inspire you. He guarantees that. Is that okay? Good. Thanks, Lalita. Yes, Prabhu? Well, the fact that you didn't think it through was because of your karma. It's tied, it's linked. You didn't have the opportunity to think it through because you were stopped from thinking it through due to your karma. So you have to change that karma. And by association with devotees and by instruction, you'll get inspired. Oh, now I know the truth. Why was it that we were in ignorance so long ago? It's because we were due to be in ignorance at that time. But now is the opportunity in this human form of life to actually get out. So just see everything as, like this Brahmin priest was saying to me, it is everything by the mercy of the Lord. Everything by the mercy of the Lord. So many people have afflictions, illnesses and stuff, you know? And you have to come to this point. Everything is by the mercy of the Lord. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. The karmic play had to be worked out. The karmic cycle had to be worked out. The fact that this man was a friend to the families was all lined up. The intricacies of karma are all lined up. Even Lord Brahma can't figure out how karma works. That's there in the Shastra. Even Lord Brahma can't figure it out. So karma just weaves its way slowly, slowly. And he should have checked his bags, he should have done this, but he was under a cloud of illusion, and now he has to do this karma. You know, that's the same. I mean, you know, sometimes you get an inspiration. If I didn't go down this street, I wouldn't have had that accident. You know, some little voice said, actually, you should go down this street, not this street, right? If you were to listen, that was Krishna telling you, don't go down there. But you went that way, and that's your karma. Right? You're always, this is the point of this verse, we are always responsible. We are responsible. You can't blame anybody else for the things that are happening in your life. You are responsible. So act with responsibility. Okay? Yes, Prabhu? Oh, Krishna acts all the time. Krishna's here in this Kali Yuga. He manifests as the holy name. And his holy name is killing evil all over the world. is killing evil, is killing evil demons. I was an evil demon. But by the holy name, I'm saved. Krishna came and he slaughtered those evil desires that I had. I was a nonsense. I was a killer of animals. Demon. But by Krishna's mercy, by the power of his holy name, my whole consciousness has changed. So Krishna is killing the demons. We are the agents. Every time we go on Harinam, we're like Arjuna, firing the arrows at the demons. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Shoo, 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 shoo. They're all being killed. Their ignorance is being killed. So don't ever say that Krishna is not here. He's here in big way in his holy name, the greatest way, and in the murti form of the Lord. When you then become a devotee and you have an opportunity to serve the devotee, make every arrangement, my friend, make every arrangement to somehow or another come to a stage where you can worship the deities directly, where you can touch Gaur-Nitai's lotus feet, where you can be in Radha Balabha's intimate association and service, where you can do service for Jagannathji. You'll have realizations and inspirations that will blow your mind. I was at an impersonalist conference one time, and they asked me, "So, you're a Hare Krishna devotee. Do you see God?" I said, "I see God every morning." I said, "Have you had a personal connection with God?" I said, "Yes, every morning. When I get an opportunity to address the deities in the morning, I get this service." And those of you that do service for Gaur-Nitai especially is so merciful, even lets a fallen soul like me do this service. I get to hold the Lord's hand and I paint his tilak. And I said, when I hold his hand, sometimes I have a real realization, I'm holding God's hand. And it fills me with love for God. And it's real. And people may say, "Oh, yeah, you're imagining." I don't care what they think. I experience it. And that experience allows me to grow in my faith and grow in my love for him. So whatever you do, my friend, somehow seek to get the mercy of, to actually have that reciprocation with the deity form, however you can do it. Does that make sense? But Krishna is out there every single day through his agents, through all of us. Yeah, Bhakti.
We don't actually even need to be a Brahmin yet to do that.
No.
You can, you know, just like we have our scheduled services, but on top of that, we should do some spontaneous service like, "Oh, I see some flowers, I can bring some flowers for the Lord," or something, you know.
Yeah.
Something that reminds you, "Oh, let me do something personally." Or you go into a jewelry store and you see something, "Oh, that would look nice on the deities." So you buy it for them, and then you'll start to experience that when you come and then you see that
and you'll feel it within your heart, and no one can take that away from you. No one can say, "Oh, that's imagination, this is just something that's happening in the lower part of your brain, blah 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 blah." Sure, no worries, believe what you want to believe. I'll believe it. I'm feeling Krishna, that's it. Okay, Srila, one more quick. Yeah, we're conditioned, Prabhu. You know, we've had so many lifetimes trying to experience enjoyment in this material world, right? So many lifetimes. If you knew how many lifetimes, how many births you've had, you'd freak out completely, you know? It's like, "Oh my God." But now you're here, and now you're getting the opportunity to serve Krishna. You know, make the most of it. But due to our conditioning and due to the fact that we're living in this material world with so many enticements, it's every likelihood that you're going to fall down and have some difficulty. But just like a loving parent, you know, if a little child stools in his pants, the parent doesn't mind. We'll clean it up. So the same way, Krishna doesn't see your faults and the times that you don't come up to the standard. He only sees the times when you are inspired to serve him. Okay? So if there is some little fall down or some difficulty or whatever, dust off, keep going. Okay? Don't take any mind to it. Understand, Blew it. Okay, let's go back. Start again. Keep on going into devotional service. Krishna didn't even see it. He only sees the good in you. Okay? Keep going. Keep going. You can't help but feel sad. But we have a greater sadness. Like, say, for example, you had Donald Trump, right? The President of the United States. The only reason why he went into action to bomb their airport was because he was sad for the little children that had died of gas. That's what he says. This is the political spin that they're giving anyway. The point of the matter is, as a devotee, we also feel sadness. Prabhupada felt sadness for the people that are suffering so much. He cried to see the suffering of people. You know? Here in Melbourne he did. So, yes, we feel that, but we have a deeper sadness. It is more than just this little kid that's suffering from the gas inhalation and he died. We have the sadness that that little kid will have to be born again and perhaps be gassed again and again and again due to his karma. Whereas we have the solution. If I can somehow or other get to that living entity and tell them this most secret of all secrets, that they're not this material body, that they're a spirit soul, and that they're a servant of Krishna eternally, if I can get this message to them, it ends their suffering. So we are even sadder than those people that see that material suffering of that little child. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that motivates us to do more. That's why Prabhupada sacrificed his life to serve and to present this knowledge. That's why people like great devotees like Jai Pataka Maharaj, irrespective of what his material body and the suffering that he's going through, he still keeps on going. I want to just preach. I want to reach people. So that sadness is even deeper with a devotee than it is for a materialist. Does that make sense to you? So you have to do something. Don't just sit lazily by and just do nothing and be happy with our own Krishna consciousness. Get out there and preach. Get out there and teach. Yeah, Russ, that last one. Yeah,
not because it's a politics.
Yeah.
I know in Kosovo they blame the not they blame Serbians because they wanted to snatch Kosovo. And I know because I have seen the people and I have heard the people saying this. They do this to justify themselves to the whole world why they will need a war intervention, military intervention for their own reasons.
That's right.
Not for the right reasons.
We don't believe anything politicians say. Although there's a couple coming tonight, we welcome them. But we want to... What are we going to do with them? We're going to start flinging the arrows at them and feeding them prasad. There we go. Keep on going. Quick one, Prabhu.
You said that you could have a studio and many more magazines at the flower show.
You can have one?
You could have a studio and many more magazines at the flower show.
We could have. Just lack of proper planning. But we learn from that, and next year we'll do it differently and have more there, and a bigger and better presentation. This was the inspiration that I needed to really give it a go. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.